tether him off, we're gonna tether him off, the mother sucker.
Sucker, tear the roof off the mother sucker, and that's what we're talking about, tearing the roof off all kind of stuff. Look, flashback, 1979, Homewood Brushton YMCA, Houdini, Leonard Houdini Johnson, and Bump Yes, bringing it to you from all directions, the great Larry Richardson, Ronnie McRae, Hoon Johnson, Bum Coates, Mike Dean, Magic Mike Williams. That, look, when Northside came with the Bump Yes squad, last guy out of Northside turned out the lights. Ain't nobody left. Everybody's going to Homewood. You ain't, and that was their theme song. Man, memories there. And you ain't seen basketball till you seen Bump Yes lock horns with the Cosmic Echoes or the Ranking Gangsters or the Dons. Back in the glory days of the Connie Hawkins League. We'll talk about the Connie Hawkins League and some other stuff. See how I wound that all together, Jim? You was over there thinking, how's he going to pull all that together? There you have it right there. And we'll talk to Major Mike Whitehead about the Pittsburgh Pipers championship run and the upcoming event of the year. Phone is blowing up day in and day out. We're getting ready to blow this thing apart in the memory of the late, great Connie Hawkins. But you were, just your opinion, guys, on what Mark said. Mark said hockey players between hockey and basketball. Now, marathon runners would have to be best conditioned, but aside from that, I'd say boxers are the best conditioned athletes, but most versatile, most complete athletes. Again, I think basketball, but you say hockey.
Well, they're going so fast and making decisions in split seconds, and the goalie's having this little piece of rubber fired at them at 100 miles an hour and snatching it out of the air. There's a lot of things going on there I think it's the speed. It's just the speed and the ability to do all that on skates.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, basketball players are the greatest athletes on the planet. To evaluate athleticism, you have to do running and jumping. Hockey players can only play hockey and lose teeth.
Let it be known that Jim Frazier offered those words. So many hockey players are looking for anybody to show how teeth get lost. Do not get him confused with anybody else on this show. Now, well, you actually offer a good point. So you're saying basketball players could play hockey, but hockey players couldn't play basketball?
Great points, like you said. You got the evaluate athleticism. You have to do running and jumping. That's why golf is not a sport. No running and jumping involved in
wow,
that.
Wow, you threw that in, Jim. Hey, let's do this because we need to get through the rest of these picks for the NHL playoffs. And, Mark, what do you think about on the other side of the bracket? We have Winnipeg
I need your opinion,
Asheville.
Though, Kev. But who do you think is the greatest athletes?
I'll say baseball.
Because hitting a baseball coming at you 100 miles an hour and moving, that is the most difficult thing to do in sports.
I sure see a lot of people doing it, though. I see a lot of people doing it.
And that wasn't the question.
I see a lot of people doing it.
You know what? The difficult, most difficult feat in sports wasn't the question.
You're right.
The best overall athletes is the question.
Yeah.
You can't possibly think that baseball players are better conditioned athletes.
Let's wrap, Kevin, we'll wrap that up real quick. I think a lot of basketball players could be good hockey players. They just were never introduced to the sport.
I know they'd be good at fighting.
If they had grown up with skates,
I agree with
you. I think because you're making decisions quick.
To Jim's point, because you're still trying to figure out how many minutes it takes to run a mile. To Jim's point, basketball players can play hockey, but hockey players couldn't go play basketball at this level.
Exactly. So Sidney Crosby's not probably dunking the ball anytime soon.
All right, so let's let Kevin, now that he understands the question.
And I'll say basketball, but again, moving on so we can make sure we get all of this in for hockey. We have Winnipeg.
This is not my fault. Jim
and Nashville on the opposite side.
Winnipeg-Nashville is probably the best series going right now. Might even be more interesting than Caps-Penguins. Well, Caps-Penguins is hard to beat. Those are two really good hockey teams, Nashville and Winnipeg. Those, to me, are the two best teams in the West. My apologies to Marc-Andre Fleury and the Vegas Knights.
So three games in, you're going with who?
Winnipeg.
You're still going with Winnipeg. Yeah. Okay, got it. And now we also have Vegas. Vegas and Fleury. San Jose. There you go.
Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas. Yeah, I think they take San Jose, although San Jose tied it 1-1, and they're going to San Jose, so you never know.
Okay, so that was as of Monday night, and then there's a game Wednesday night, so we'll be four games into the series. And you still like Vegas?
I think that'll be 2-2 coming out of the two games in San Jose. I think they'll go to Vegas split, tied up. 2-2.
But you like Vegas to win it all.
In the end,
Vegas, that particular
right.
series. Yes. Okay, so before we wrap up hockey, do you have any other comments as far as the playoffs? Anything else we need to know about?
Well, Vegas is a great story. It's the best expansion team in the history of expansion teams. No expansion team has ever done what the Vegas Knights in any sport. And, of course, the NHL set it up that way. So that they did. They wanted to give more good players were exposed to the draft. Plus, there was only one team. You know, they were only expanding by one team. So Seattle, the people of Seattle are licking their chops because that's going to be the next team coming in 2020. So they're licking their chops, looking, oh, look at Vegas. They got a good start with the way they did the expansion draft. So
the real question you have to answer is, will the Penguins three-peat?
I think they have a good chance, but Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg comes out of the West. Of course, Pittsburgh against Andre Fleury would be great theater. It's going to be tough for the Penguins to three-peat. Playoff hockey is so much different than the other sports.
A Canadian team is overdue to win one.
That too.
I got the Pens three-peating. I said all along, I think these guys realized they're on the edge of greatness. I mean, superior greatness with a three-peat. And they'll be in a great company with the likes of Boston and
Montreal. Edmonton won four in a row.
Yeah. So I think they realize it. I think they've been holding back a little bit here and there, and I think they're set to three-peat. I really do. I think it's something – obviously it's something they want, but I think deep down they've been waiting for this opportunity.
The one weakness they have is they don't have the depth on defense they had the last 2 years.
Okay. All right. So I'm sure that you are happy to get into our next sports topic here, Major League Baseball. I sat here last week, and I'm going to start off the same way, but with different words. So what a difference a week makes in Major League Baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates are playing very good baseball. They went from being in third place in the National League Central to first place as of Monday night. The Pirates are 17-11.
Why don't you start
as of Monday night? They just swept the St. Louis Cardinals this past weekend, and now they're playing the Washington Nationals. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I wanted to know, you said you want to start off with that. Why wouldn't you start off with saying, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I was wrong about something. The Pittsburgh Pirates are a good team, and I want to offer my apologies to Mark Whitett, our guest on occasion, for being absolutely wrong about the Pittsburgh Pirates. Could you have started with that, maybe?
Not at all.
Okay, my bad.
I still believe that the Pittsburgh Pirates will have a terrible year.
This team is for real, Kev.
But as of right now,
you mean the first
Pittsburgh Pirates. They're playing real good baseball. They have a first time starter, Nick Kingdom, that played this past Sunday, seven innings, only gave up one hit in seven innings. He was very impressive. He came out of nowhere. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to see that particular outing, but I was very impressed. I believe he retired the first 20 batters, if I'm not mistaken.
He had a perfect game going into the seventh inning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kev, at what point do you become a believer, in all seriousness? Like, at what point do you say to yourself, you know what, this team is for real? How long does it have to be? All-star break?
Not at all. Not at all. It would have to happen.
You still sticking to your 65?
You mean
wins?
It's got to go all the way down to the
I
end?
I said 65 to 70.
You said 60. Oh, he's changing.
No,
it.
Not
he
at all.
Say 65.
Well, he does change.
No,
now you understand what I've been saying.
I said 65 to 70. Go back and look.
Okay. I think Trev can do the research.
Yes, for sure. 65
time.
To 70. And I think you said somewhere around
74. I said 76. I said
somewhere in that area.
He said 76.
I said
that's
one more win.
At least 76. Now you're hedging.
No,
is it 76 or not? You're trying
trying
to pin me down to one particular number.
I said they would win at least 76.
At
games.
Least, okay.
They're 22.3% of the
so
way.
So
you're
at least is the same as what I'm saying between 65 and
70. No, I think
your
hedge is much
it's
hedgier than mine.
It's still a losing record with no playoffs.
I'm pretty sure you said 65.
I said 65 to 70.
Okay.
Right. Go back and listen. But
right. But I said at least 76, and I'm sticking to it.
I hope I'm wrong. I wish the Pirates would win 100 games.
I guess
do not see it, but
when I win
it
this
would be
bet,
great.
We go to a Pirate game and you take me, right?
Not at all. You wouldn't see me at a Pittsburgh Pirates game.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm glad you said that, Mark. So this is a great time to interject this. For all of us to know.
Uh-huh.
And Trev, for the Urban Media Radio family to know that Wednesday, May 30th, we're all going to the ball game. We're going to see the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Chicago Cubs.
We all who?
Everybody that wants to go can go, and we will have enough tickets for everybody. Compliments of Joel Gray and the Pittsburgh Pirates. So mark your calendar.
I refuse
Wednesday,
the invite.
Wednesday, May 30th, we're going to the ball game. And let's go all have some fun and have a good time and enjoy the park and enjoy the game. And, Kevin, you're going.
I am not
you're
going.
Going.
Are you on strike?
I am not going.
Yeah, you're
going
to go and you're
going
to have
not
fun.
Going.
Are you on strike against nutting or something like that? Or is it you just – I mean, it's a beautiful ballpark.
It is a beautiful ballpark, and it pains me not to go to
I'll make
a
you
local
a deal.
Major league
I'll make you a
baseball
deal.
Game. It really does.
I'll make you
what
a deal.
What if they won
I'll
90
make you a
games?
Deal.
I don't care. I wouldn't go.
I'll make
I don't
you a deal. If we're winning, if we're still ahead, more wins than losses, you go.
No.
Come on,
Kev. If they made the playoffs, I wouldn't
Come
go.
Come on, Kev.
No.
What is your specific – I mean, I don't like the way the Nuttings do it either, and I cut – is it the way they treated Kutch and Cole? Is that
not
it?
At all. No. Not just at all.
What is it, Kev?
It's badly run. It's a badly run organization, and I don't have the stats up in front of me right now, but they do not put the amount of money that is necessary into the team in order to be competitive on a year-in, year-out basis. They're not truly trying to win a championship. They had good teams from 2013 through 2015, did not invest in those teams, and now we're in the predicament that we're in today. So any winning that is occurring is basically a result of being lucky because the players that they have, they're looking for those players to play the best ball that they ever played in order to try for the team's success. So what I'm getting to is, you know, they have players where if they happen to play good, the Pirates could do well temporarily, but not over the long term.
I can't argue with you there. I agree with you. If you look at it, the philosophy they're as well as they're doing, it's kind of surprising. And if they just put a little more money into it and buy a free agent or two, then I see what you're saying.
And what happens in these type of situations?
It would make the difference.
And what happens in these type of situations when you find luck and the team is successful and the fans start to come back? That tells the owner, I'm okay to manage the team the way it's being managed.
I see what you're saying.
And that's the problem that I have. I would love for us to do well, but it's not set up for long-term success.
I agree with you. But having said that, they're doing better than people thought they were going to do. That's really all I've said from the beginning.
Let me ask both of you a question. How good was St. Louis slated to be?
Very good.
Weren't they slated to be very good?
Yeah.
They're slow here. Cause I,
not to win the division. No, Chicago's but they were still. And Milwaukee was picked to do
one
well.
One at a time
too here.
So St. Louis is supposed to be a pretty good team coming out of spring training, right? Did we play them?
We just played
we just
them.
No.
I mean, I'm talking to Mark. Mark, did we play them?
We did. And we came from behind by 5 runs on Monday night.
But,
and then this new rookie pitched a perfect game into the 7th and won a game Saturday.
Was it a series? Did we play a series?
We did.
How many games out of the series did we win?
There were 3.
Did we win all 3?
Let me think. Yeah, they won 3.
What is wrong with you, man? The team is good.
Who are you talking to now?
This is not...
Are you talking to me, or are you talking to Mark, or Trav, or Smokey Jim?
I'm talking to you, disgruntled one. They just beat a very good team. They took a series from St. Louis. What is it that you want?
And again, I give credit when credit is due. Okay, again, we had this pitcher, Nick Kingdom, that came out of nowhere that provided a very good start.
Nowhere to you.
Well, he's a
not
really,
to anyone.
Not nowhere to anyone. Apparently not nowhere to the
he's
management.
He's been in the system for a long time.
Apparently
he had
not
arm
nowhere
problems
to management.
Did you expect for him to be in a rotation, Mark?
No.
Thank you.
No,
so he
I,
came
no,
out of nowhere.
I expect him to be in the rotation next year.
Okay. But because this year you didn't expect him to be in the rotation.
Out of nowhere.
Not this early.
Out of nowhere
I expected
means,
him in September.
Out of nowhere means right before game time, some guy walked in off the street and started pitching. He didn't come from nowhere. He's in the system. He obviously pitched because they believed he could pitch.
There's a lot of
you're the one that doesn't
leaguers
know what's going on
there's,
behind
there's
the scenes.
There's a lot of minor leaguers in the system, Bill.
We ain't talking
but
about them.
Can they come up to the
we're
big team? Mark is talking about in September when you expand your roster.
You're talking about the pitcher that pitched last night. Isn't that who you were talking about?
He was a very highly touted prospect who got arm problems, probably threw him 2 years behind. I didn't expect him to be pitching this soon.
And that's the only
and
thing I'm saying. He came
I said
out of
September,
nowhere.
Actually, I wouldn't have been surprised about August. So I'm really shocked he's up this soon. But the idea that he would someday be a good pitcher in the Pirates rotation, it's not crazy because he was one of their most highly rated pitchers in the last decade in the minors, in the minor leagues.
So you have Trevor Williams, who's having a pretty good season right now. He's 4-1 with the ERA of 2.29, and that's a real solid ERA.
Very nice.
So just taking a look at the rotation here, you have Cole, who is 3-1 with a 4.55 ERA. So there's a lot of improvement that needs to occur there. So again, you know, from a pitching rotation standpoint, I believe that the Pirates are doing enough right now to play good baseball. Even the bullpen has been better over the last week.
I know what you're doing. I finally get it.
What is it?
It's like reverse baseball psychology. You're trying to make us think you don't really like the Pirates while you keep offering.
I love the Pirates.
But you keep
I love the Pirates.
You keep talking about all the things they're doing well. And see, we're asleep at the wheel not realizing you really do love the Pirates, but you want us to think you don't love the Pirates. So get it? Do you get it?
Just know
that he's trying to play both ends against the middle.
No, just know that I'm objective. Regardless if I love a team or love a player, when it comes to a true assessment, I'm going to provide you with a true assessment. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes you're wrong.
Sometimes you're wrong.
Sometimes I'm
wrong.
Sometimes I'm right.
Like now. Right now you're wrong about the Pirates.
So,
right now.
Not at all.
You, Mark,
how many times have I told you they would have a good April?
Yes. And
thank
now
you.
And they're going to.
And I said past April, once we get beyond April, things will fall apart.
Well, you don't know that because you're not a fortune teller. Okay. So right now, the Pirates are good. Right now, they're good.
Right now, I was right.
But we're talking about right now.
And as of right now, I was right.
Right now, they're good.
And as of right now, I
was
right.
And so was I. We're both right, though.
And again, they're not good. They're not good.
Are they leading the division?
They have a good record. Let me tell you who's good. And they do not have a great record right now. The Angels. This past Sunday, I just got done watching 2 quality baseball teams, the New York Yankees, and the Yankees are really hot right now. As of Monday night, they're 18-9. So those two teams are solid baseball teams.
The Pirates aren't.
The Pirates couldn't compete with them.
Well, how do you know that?
Did you ask me?
Yeah, but how do you know that?
Based on what I see, my assessment.
So it's the world according to Kevin, the way Kevin sees it.
Mark, are you familiar with the Yankees lineup?
Yes, it's wildly good.
Okay, how does it compete with the Pittsburgh Pirates lineup?
Well, I think you could say that.
I'm talking to Mark.
Every major league team can't compete with that lineup.
Thank you. The Angels. What about the Angels lineup?
They have a good lineup, but not as good as the Yankees.
Not as good as the Yankees. Well, that's maybe why the Yankees beat them.
Yeah, they swept them, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. They won Sunday night.
They did
2-1.
2-1.
I got two names for you. In that way of thinking, I got two names for you. Joe Namath.
And?
Buster Douglas. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the Yankees until I play them. Don't talk to me about what the Yankees are going to do to me until I play them. Joe Namath, Buster Douglas.
Hello. Come playoff time, the Yankees are just as likely to go into a cold streak against a good pitching staff as anybody else.
Or better put, do they put their jockstrap on a different way than the Pirates? Do they lace their shoes up differently? I'm talking to our baseball aficionado. Do they lace their shoes up differently than the Pirates?
They probably do.
They probably do.
So since we're talking about the Yankees, I mentioned they're hot. They're 18-9 as of Monday night. They have a guy, Mark, because I'm going to leave Bill out of this.
But that Joe Namath,
he doesn't know what's going on.
That Joe Namath, Buster Douglas, that set you back a second, though, didn't it?
I'm talking to Mark. But the Yankees, they have a guy, G.G. Gregorius.
Yes. Hit 10 homers
so far. And the only Yankees player to hit more home runs prior to May 1st, with the exception of two, Alex Rodriguez, who hit 14 in 2007, and Greg Nettles, who hit 11 in 1974.
Third
so
baseman.
Just to put things in perspective and what kind of year G.G. Gregorius is having.
He's not faced our pitchers, though.
He's having a banner year.
He hasn't faced our pitchers, though.
Oh. I'm sure he would love to face our pitchers. So, again, and then they have a guy, Gary Sanchez, who just hit a two-run homer against the Angels Sunday night. And, again, I believe they swept the Angels. And they also have Aaron Judge.
Stanton.
And they have Stanton. So when I say they have a loaded lineup.
But having said all that, they're in second place in their division.
They're in second place because you have Boston, the best record in baseball.
Right.
And they were 20-7 as of Monday night. And you have Arizona. Now, these are our good baseball teams here.
As are the Pirates.
So you have Arizona, who's 19-8 as of Monday night. And the Mets, 17-9, right on their heels.
17-9, which is Monday only night. One game ahead of the first-place Pittsburgh Pirates.
Say that again?
17-9, right? And the Pirates are 17-11. You know what you said?
17-11,
yeah.
Yes.
So that's just one game better.
It's more than one game
better. Mark, I think we've
tied and win losses.
Well,
tied and win.
I'm looking at losses. And talking about Arizona, talking about a quality squad, won their first 9 series and is only the second National League team to do it.
That is amazing stuff.
The Cubs were the other National League team way back, Bill, in 1907. When you can win your first 9, you know you're playing really good baseball. And then, just to go talking about on the other side, the American League Central. How terrible is the American League Central?
And the Cleveland Indians are very happy about that.
Well, Cleveland is only 14-12 as of Monday night.
Right.
So I wanted to include how terrible. Now, that's a terrible division now, Bill. If the Pirates were over there, they would still be in first place, and they might make the playoffs on that side.
We've heard that there's some hidden agenda to his dislike of the Pirates. It has nothing to do with their talent on the field. That being said,
if you can't take the truth,
that being said,
I don't know what to tell you.
We, those of us that are thinking sensibly and logically, will conclude that if the Pirates are in first place in their division, they must be better than the other teams in their division. So we'll go with that. Let him stay with where he's at, and we'll move forward on a positive note. To which, I want to remind each and every one of you, it's finally here. It's finally time to remember the Pittsburgh Pipers. It's coming up this Friday and Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Wherever you're at listening to this, give us a call and come on the town. Major Mark Whited has located 13 original members, and he'll tell you who's coming of the 13 that were 1967-68 Pittsburgh Piper ABA World Champions. Coming to Pittsburgh on Friday, May 4th at the Savoy Restaurant. There's a meet and greet and welcome for these great world champions coming back for the first time in 50 years, ladies and gentlemen. And then Saturday, a 12 o'clock press conference at the Marriott Hotel City Center, downtown Pittsburgh, followed by a 6 o'clock reception, 7 o'clock awards and dinner at the Marriott. It's going to be grand. Guest speaker, keynote speaker, the great Billy Knight, All-American out of Pitt, one of only four shirts retired at the University of Pittsburgh. The All-Americans coming home, having led the NBA in scoring three separate times and won the NBA tennis tournament twice. Super athlete Billy Knight coming home, Braddock roots, Ron Carter coming back to town. B.B. Flannery will be there, Bruce Atkins, Kirk Bruce, Sam Clancy. All the greats are coming out. It's going to be a fabulous night this Friday and Saturday, May 4th and May 5th. Major, tell us all about this reunion of the 1968 Pipers World Champions.
Well, there were 21 who played on that team that year. 9 have passed. Unfortunately, one of them passed a few weeks ago, and I was at his funeral yesterday. But 12 remaining players still alive. 11 of those 12 will be here. They include, unfortunately, only one of the starters is still alive. That's Charlie Williams, but he'll be here. We've got Tom Kerwin coming. We've got Herschel Turner coming. We got Steve Vasendak, who was a star at Duke in the 60s. We've got Jim Jarvis, the number 6 guy on the team, the first guy off the bench, the number 3 guard, helped win the finals. We got Barry Leibowitz coming, one of the best passers in the history of the ABA, actually. We've got Leroy Wright. We've got Arvesta Kelly. Ira Hards, one of the best rebounders in the league that year. Cal Graham's coming. He's the only Piper still living here. He lives in Sewickley. And Dexter Westbrook. So all it, those gentlemen are coming.
Coming home, being reunited thanks to your great effort to literally go across the country on your own dime to find these guys, talk to them, meet them, greet them, and get them comfortable with coming back. And all this due in part to the great support of Mark Cuban and the Mark Cuban Foundation. Tell us how that came to be.
Well, let's say how the reunion developed. So I was in the course of, I knew to get a publisher, I needed to talk to everybody. And so I went all around the country as far away as Oregon and New Mexico, interviewed every single guy in person. And in the course of interviewing these guys, it occurred to me, and actually it was the gentleman who just had the funeral for yesterday who I bounced it off saying, "Hey, Bill, you guys never had a reunion." So the idea of having a reunion came up in my head. Didn't know exactly how to do it other than to get them together and meet in a Denny's or something. And then while I was in Phoenix, I was minding my own business talking to the receptionists at the Phoenix Suns offices, and they mentioned Bill Neal's name. I didn't know Bill Neal. I Googled him. I found out that he ran the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League for 35 years. I said, "I got to call Bill Neal, whoever the hell that is." And I did. And it's ironic because just an hour before Bill and I talked, I got an email from Mark Cuban because I went through a similar little mental exercise thinking, well, Mark Cuban owns an NBA team. Mark Cuban's a native Pittsburgher. Mark Cuban tried to buy the Pittsburgh Pirates. Mark Cuban's my age. He must have been a Piper fan. I sent him an email, and he answered. So here we are. Mark Cuban has graciously agreed to sponsor a good portion of the event, the Mark Cuban Foundation, he calls it.
And along with that, Sam Shulo, You've got Highmark. You've got UPMC. You've got the Pittsburgh Penguins. You've got Billy Knight coming in as a keynote speaker. We've got a number of other supporters across the board. Chuck Sanders Charities, the Savoy Restaurant. Just a host of top-level champions, to be sure, are involved with making this event something special. And we'll be setting a historic mark in this city. We'll wrap up this part of the conversation, Mark, in just a second. Got to take a break. And we'll be right back to finish up reuniting the Pittsburgh Pipers.
To advertise on Urban Media Today, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.
Now the party didn't start, so I walked in, and I probably won't leave until the thing ends. But in the meantime, the in-between time, if you work your thing, then I'll work mine. We came here together so we could have fun, me and you, baby, going one-on-one. Now this is the last chance for us to get off, so either get loose or you ought to get lost. Cause I'm just about ready to do my thing, cause I'm a Stone Cold New York rap machine. I'ma give you what I got, and baby, that's plenty. And never has one man rock so many. I'ma make you wet, it makes you sweat, just how funky you can get.
Now, Kev, y'all did yourself this time, man.
All right.
You bringing out some serious music.
Like that, Bill.
None of that hopscotch stuff you've been playing the last couple of weeks, man. You got some serious music happening here. So listen, we don't have any time to waste. I want to get back to Mark White. You were wrapping up contact information for people to get to this historic event for the first time in 50 years. The 1967-68 Pittsburgh Pipers will be reunited in the city of Pittsburgh. Members, and a salute to the great Connie Hawkins and the induction of this year's Connie Hawkins League Hall of Famers. So people want to get to you, how?
You can go to www.pghsforgottenchamps.com. That's pghsforgottenchamps.com.
You better do that one more time, a tad slower.
www.pghsforgottenchamps.com.
And we want to remind everybody that this entire event, as we said, is being brought to you by the Mark Cuban Foundation, Achieving Greatness Incorporated, State Representative Austin Davis, Councilman Dan Lavelle, the New Pittsburgh Courier, Chuck Sanders Charities, Frank B. Furrow Wholesale Company, a proud 30-year sponsorship. And let me tell you about the guys going in the Hall of Fame this year. These are the people that helped make the Connie Hawkins Summer Basketball League one of the top five leagues in the nation for 10-plus years. Jeff Baldwin, the great player out of Duquesne. Gary Nelson of the Nelson Twins, another great player out of Duquesne. Jimmy Nichols, James Dr. J. Ely, Gene Wilson, Levi Ice Cream Taylor, Rico Appendanza, Marcus Tomlin, Keith Starr. Keith Starr was an original 6'6" point guard that played for Pitt in the early 70s, long before big guards ever hit the scene. Nate Disco Duck, Kevin Murphy, Marvin Bailey, Steve Vandeveer, Gerald Scoot Warwick, Maurice Super Chicken Brown, Stu Lyons, all being inducted as players. Coach Zeke Ognambaga is going in. Administration inductees, Vicki Slater, Mike Booker, Debbie Coleman. And this year's officials, we're even so fair, Mark, that we put officials in. I mean, we even let officials get in. This year, in memory of John Kinsel and Tim Jenkins, and this year inducting Gerald Smith, Reggie Tolliver, and Rico Davis. So all that stuff going on with the great Billy Knight coming in from Atlanta to speak, and the likes of Ron Carter and all the other great legends coming, it's going to be a great night. It's a sellout night, to be sure. We're approaching that big number of sellout. But if you want to get in, it's not too late. 412-628-4856. You have the website information. You have the office number for Achieving Greatness, 412-628-4856. And like I said last week, if you call me, first one to call gets two free tickets. I don't know if it gets any better than that, Smoking Jim. And look, I don't care And I think it's time, Kev, to talk NFL.
Let's do it, man.
I don't care if you got one hand, no hands. I don't. If you can catch it, if you can run it, if you can play it, if you can hit it, if you can block it, if you can kick it, if you can get it done, you get it done. I don't have no problem drafting you. And apparently, if you're the fastest linebacker in camp in the last 15 years, and you come from a pedigree that excels in the championship spirit, and if you excelled as a college and high school athlete, then what's the problem? What's the problem? Let's get this man a uniform. That's all I can say. Let's talk about this NFL draft.
And who are you talking about, Bill?
Well, I'm talking about the young man that just got drafted by Seattle.
Shaq Griffin.
And now they say...
beautiful story.
They say that, what is it, Seattle, is it Doomsday? Doomsday is done in Seattle. It's now Griffin Day in Seattle because he joins his brother. Legion of Boom, yeah.
Legion of Griffins.
Legion of Griffin, yeah. So it's going to be now. You know, we don't look. It's a lot to put on this young man's shoulders to be applauded that he got drafted under the unfortunate circumstances, had a hand removed at a young age due to a birth defect, and he has not let that stop him, nor has his brother allowed it to let him stop him all these years, and he has excelled. You know, it only goes to show you how pitiful you and I are, Jim, when we couldn't do with two hands what this young man has done with one. So we applaud him and just think it's a tremendous story. But like he said, he wants to get to a point where he's not known as the one-hand football player. He just wants to be known as a professional football player, and I couldn't agree more.
Like I said, Bill, it was a beautiful story. I was definitely happy to see that not only was he selected during the draft, he also went to the same team that his brother was drafted by.
And by that you mean it's good that he didn't have to be a free agent.
That was all his merit. That whole thing. Exactly. He was drafted, not a free agent, and he actually earned the draft pick that he was able to get. So I'm looking forward to actually see him play as well.
You had a sense that he was. Did you guys have a sense that he was going to end up with his brother? I had a little bit of a
never,
sense.
Never
Shouldn't
thought
be
about
shocking.
It.
No, it's not. And I kind of had a sense. I just had a little bit of a feeling about that, but not a prediction, but just a little bit of a feeling.
And you're talking about identical twins. I can't tell them both apart other than a hand.
Yeah. Very. They look very, very much alike, for sure. So. When we take a look at the draft, 1 through 32, Smoking Jim, what did you think overall?
Well, if you want to talk about the draft overall started off with the biggest bust in NFL history with the Cleveland Browns taking Baker Mayfield. Listen, Mayfield throws off his back foot. There's only been three successful quarterbacks in NFL history that had success doing that. Number one, Dan Marino, who had a strong arm and the third quickest release in NFL history. Number two was Broadway Street Joe Namath, who had a strong arm and the second quickest release in NFL history. And the only other one was Joe Gilliam, who had the fastest release in NFL history and a strong arm. Baker Mayfield got a weak arm. He's chubby. He doesn't study. He doesn't develop. He's no leader, and he's going to be worse in Cleveland than Johnny Manziel.
Wow, that says a lot. And let me say this, and I had the pleasure of being on Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trev Show.
Best show on radio.
This week as well, and we really got heavy into the draft, so... For those of you out there, if you didn't have a chance to catch it, please go out and check out Urban Media Today Talk Sports. It normally comes on every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., but I believe that is airing at a different time as well throughout the week. So if you have a chance to catch that, please do so. And one of the things I mentioned during that show, Smoking Jim, do you know who the offensive coordinator is for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, Coach Haley, who will backstab Jackson for that job as we speak.
So you have Haley, basically everywhere he was, he had issues with coaches, with players, so on and so forth. So now you're going to bring a troubled individual in.
Great point. Great point.
And do you think that they'll be able to coexist?
They want to kill each other by probably right now. I don't think they got through this weekend successfully.
So I think the Browns, once again, they do what they always do. They find a way to mess things up.
The move would have been in the first pick, take Barkley. In the fourth pick, take your favorite quarterback at that time that doesn't have a last name of Barkley.
And given the history of great running backs in Cleveland, why do you not take Barkley? I mean, that's not the only reason, but given your history for great backs, here comes a guy that can fit that bill if you give him a decent to very decent offensive line, and you pass on that for a maybe. Doesn't make sense. It reeks of
Cleveland.
And
then with the fourth pick overall, they shock everybody by taking a cornerback. Are you kidding me?
Right. And they have Taylor that they brought in from Buffalo for a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you would think, having the luxury of having Taylor, that they would at least be able to wait until the fourth pick to select a quarterback. But no, they did what the Browns always do.
Well, Smoking Jim,
just messed it up.
I didn't get to see the moment of the selection. What did the fans do when they selected, when Cleveland made that first pick?
Well, I couldn't really tell because we had the sound down on the television, so I couldn't really tell what was going on. But everybody expected it. At that point, it wasn't a well-kept secret. I didn't think that they would do it, but
let me tell you,
it was in Dallas, so but there was a lot of Cleveland fans.
That broke like a day before they were going to do that.
Yeah, but let me tell you, the expression of the Browns fans, very disheartened.
Wow.
They were very disappointed.
Wow.
And I just laughed. You know, I don't like the Browns. I don't like any of the Cleveland sports teams. So I was happy that they continue to mess up because Saquon Barkley is a beast.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's over in the NFC versus the AFC. I mean, the Browns could have been some serious playoff contenders overnight if they would have utilized their draft picks right. So, again, they blew it, but, hey, Cleveland's mistakes are other people's benefits, such as the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley picked number two. So now he's up there with Eli Manning. So you got Eli Manning, and now you have the receiver as well.
What's his name?
The blonde-haired guy that keeps getting in trouble.
What's the wide receiver's name,
from
Mark?
LSU. We can't think of the wide receiver.
We're drawing a blank here.
Beckham? Yeah, Beckham. Yeah, Odell Beckham.
Which he wants more money, too.
He deserves it.
All depends how much. He should get paid, but there's a limit.
Hey, guys, a sidebar here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets old. Father Time is undefeated. Mm-hmm. Time waits for no man. But did you happen to see Jim Brown on the sidelines of one of the NBA games? I suspect it was a Cavaliers game. Would have to have been. He looks old. And he's just one of those guys that you think would never grow old. The great Jim Brown finally looked old.
Wow.
You know, you saw Bill Cosby, and you kind of accept that 80-year-old. But when you see Jim Brown, you just think, Jim Brown is going to look the same as he did in 1969 forever. But it's not true, and I was stunned. Now, you know, to my dismay about his choice, full hair of gray that could have been shaven off and taken a few years off. I mean, he had enough gray growth on hair and beard that easily added 10 years to him. But Jim Brown's got to be what? Jim Brown's got to be... He's got to be 80, right?
Born about 90.
No, 85 at least.
Yeah, because when did he start? Late 50s?
He was third in the Heisman voting in 57 when Paul Hornung won it and Johnny Majors came in second.
So he was born about 1935-ish,
32 probably.
Oh, 30. Okay, yeah.
Johnny Majors finished second in the Heisman.
Heisman to Paul Hornung on a 2-9 Notre Dame team, and Jim Brown came in third. At that time, there had never been a black Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, that's the only reason Jim Brown
a 2-9 A guy from a 2-9 team won the Heisman. I remember Paul Warney won it. But what was Majors' position?
Running back. Great running back for Tennessee. Yeah, Johnny Majors. Yeah, that's before the alcohol.
Yeah, I saw him at the Holiday Inn in Oakland once. But that being said, continuing the NFL talk.
Yeah, and we have Sam Darnold. I know a lot of people were saying that he could possibly go to the Browns as well. So he ended up going to the Jets. Do you think that was a good pick?
That's a great pick. He reminds me of a future Hall of Famer that I've been calling Andy Dalton. Sam reminds me of Andy Dalton from Cincinnati, who's got Hall of Fame stats. And I think he's
Why? Because they both have legs?
Andy Dalton in the Hall of Fame?
You look at his statistics, and they're Hall of Fame worthy already.
Unless
and
he's playing
he
the
might
Steelers.
Even win a playoff
game
one day.
Hall of Fame worthy.
His stats are Hall of Fame worthy if you look at Andy Dalton's stats. And I like Sam Darnold. They got the same attitude. And they got same leadership qualities.
Are you okay, Smokey Jim?
Well, if you go all the way back to TCU, he's always been a winner.
No, I'm talking about in the NFL
Rifle. Nickname is the Red Rifle.
The guy with the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yeah,
the one who's never won a playoff game, right?
Well, his coach has never won a playoff game, you know.
Okay,
but
well.
Andy
I'm
Dalton.
I'm surprised you said that.
AJ Green, who's been throwing him the passes all these years. Yes.
Well, let's go back to the draft now. Give us some top-level names. Who came out, who went where, who's going to be a difference maker?
That's what Kevin just gave us, the third pick, Sam Darnold from USC. Outstanding pick for the Jets.
Well,
And then we talked about number four, Denzel Ward, but I thought Denver had a very strong pick with Bradley Chubb.
That's who Cleveland, everybody figured Cleveland would take, give them another pass rusher. You get to the quarterback, you can be very successful. That was a big mistake by Cleveland by passing on Chubbs at that point.
And then we have Quentin Nelson that went to Indianapolis from Notre Dame.
As long as he's not on steroids, he'll be all right.
He'll be all right. But this is one that we really need to talk about, and I'm sure Bill will enjoy talking about this one. Josh Allen out of Wyoming.
I love him.
Went to Buffalo. Did you hear about what went on there, Bill?
No.
So Josh Allen, right before the draft, word came out that he made some derogatory comments and racist comments on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, talking about in this and in that. And if you're not white, you're not right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he did this before.
When he was in high school.
When he was in high school.
When he was in high school.
Well, he could have done it at Wyoming, too, and got away with it.
So this came out directly before the draft, and everyone was wondering if it would impact his draft status.
Guess it didn't.
It did not at all.
His agent must be Kerry Collins.
So what did you think about that, Smoking Jim?
Well, what he said was, of course, he's not racist of any kind. Some of his best friends are black, but he said they were lyrics. His agent said they were lyrics to a rap song, and that's what he was rapping on Twitter.
Well, I don't think there's a song that says if you're not white, you're not right.
I missed that one.
Well, it depends on what part of the country you're listening in now. I'm sure there are a few of those songs floating around in different parts of the country. So continue, gentlemen. Who else is coming out?
So I just want to stay on this for a little bit because – no, I hate to see our players being impacted when things come up such as this. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it again on Trev's show that, you know, if this was a black player, his draft stock would have
dropped.
You take a Randy Moss, and that happened in high school.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And you have this situation here, and, you know, nothing happened. He still got drafted where he was slotted to go, and I just do not feel that is fair. I would like to see the same treatment for everyone.
Matter of fact, I think he moved up a few slots because he went ahead of Rosen, chosen Rosen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I would just like to see the treatment for all players, regardless of race, when things come up from high school, for them to say, well, you weren't an adult. We understand. You don't show that behavior anymore, So in the future, that's something we need to watch out for. Because
didn't Cooper from the Philadelphia Eagles get a million-dollar contract bonus, a big contract, after he said what he said
I know.
At the concert?
So, I know. So, again, it's something that we can talk about a little bit more. So let's dive into.
But when he said it, I think he just used the A, not the hard ER at the end. That makes a difference.
Oh, it makes a difference, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. So
Now, just one thing. Little devil's advocate here, little other side of the coin, because we have been known to forgive indiscretion from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be pretty dumb in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all done something at least once in high school that we're not proud of. So maybe it was just a youthful, stupid thing to do and say. You know, it could be that he is a racist, but maybe it was just a young, stupid thing to do or say. And maybe he's a different person now. Maybe he's learned the error of his ways during his 4 years in college being associated with black athletes. Maybe.
And I'm not saying by no any means that he's a racist. What he posted was definitely wrong and uncalled for, of course. But I'm saying when it comes to black players, treat black players that way.
Your
give them
is,
the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Because even you made a comment last week about, you know, the Starbucks situation and being a black male and how every black male has experienced that type of treatment, the way those two individuals were treated in Starbucks. So that's the only thing I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, he should have been negatively affected by it. But when it's a black player, don't have him negatively affected by it. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Agreed.
All right. So moving on. So any other noticeables you would like to talk about before
no.
we get into the Steelers? No.
No. Other than Lamar Jackson going to the Baltimore Ravens, I thought that was a great pick. I think he's going to be a great pro in the National Football League whenever he gets his opportunity. The Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from Louisville.
What about Josh Rosen?
Josh Rosen is going to be a future, maybe work for his dad, who's a rich doctor. But the chosen Rosen will be a locker room cancer.
Wow.
And he'll be a problem anywhere he goes, and I believe he'll be on several teams before he retires.
Wow. What about Calvin Ridley out of Alabama went to Atlanta?
Great pick. Great pick for Atlanta. The guy can run every route in the book. Outstanding production at Alabama. On most people's board, he was rated the number one receiver on most people's board.
So he's out there with Matty Ice and Julio Jones.
Yeah,
so that offense
pick.
Should be really potent, right?
Yep, and all them fine women in Atlanta. So let's see if he keep his concentration, bro.
And the last one, before we get into the Steelers here, their picks, what about Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I just mentioned it going to the Baltimore Ravens. I love that pick. Former Heisman Trophy winner from Louisville, 3,600 yards passing this year as a senior, 1,600 yards rushing. He's a touchdown machine. He's unstoppable, and I'm happy for the Ravens that they got that quarterback. So
I'm going to use that, Smoking Jim, to transition into the Steelers pick. Because this is a pick that I was very happy to see at the third pick, Mason Rudolph. Mm-hmm. Mason Rudolph, quarterback. Mm-hmm. So he's Big Ben's replacement. So did you feel that that was a good pick?
Well, he was my number one rated quarterback in the whole entire draft. I think I said that the last time I was
nice.
On the show. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. That was a great pick.
Out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, so I got to give Oklahoma State 6'5", 235 pounds. Outstanding guy. Matter of fact, he was a two-time state champion even in high school. Passed for 8 touchdowns in the high school state championship game. 64 touchdowns as a high school senior. So his production just went into college. I think I got to give Kevin Colbert and I got to give Mike Tomlin credit for that pick, but I got to throw him under the bus for taking a fourth-round safety in the first round in Terrell Edmonds.
Wow,
that was the worst
round.
I had a third round grade on him. They ended up taking him in the first round. This is a strong safety that can't play free safety. You already got Morgan Burnett from Green Bay. You already got Sean Davis, former Pittsburgh Steelers rookie of the year. You got needs at cornerback. They ain't had a cornerback since 2003. Depth at cornerback. You need cornerback.
Oh,
you need inside linebacker.
No.
They had depth at cornerback since 2003.
Well, they draft. Yes, they did.
They had Ike Taylor and who else?
They drafted Burns. And then
Burns couldn't cover you, if you give him a head fake.
I disagree with that. Burns.
What has he done?
Again, Burns issues. Burns had issues last year.
Terrell Pryor turned him all around and he didn't even throw a move.
I'm not disagreeing with
that. How many interceptions he got? He's still waiting
on
it.
I'm not sure.
They ain't thrown away from
him. But then you got Cameron Sutton.
And you know that he's good because he did good in practice? Because I ain't seen him in a game. Have you?
He were in game.
What game? What did he do? Did he do something?
He did.
What? Was he part of that?
He played in a number of games. But
can you name a play? But what number is he? So I know next time he get on the field, what number is he?
Now he's smoking. Now he's smoking, Jim.
And they're already talking about moving him to free safety. Do they know what they're doing down there?
Well, just to let you know as well, I'm not sure if you heard the news. They got rid of J.J. Wilcox.
Thank you.
As well.
They the ones that picked him up. He's the only one. They picked him up off the garbage pile.
Okay.
Only team that wanted him.
Let's do this because, again, are you saying
they
should have drafted a cornerback?
They should have drafted anybody or trade out of there and get more picks in the second round. You don't take a guy who was only at the draft. He's not even in the top three best in his immediate family. And you're taking him in the first round?
Okay. All right. What about wide receiver James Washington?
James Washington was number one on my board. Reminds me of, hear this name, everybody across the world. This is the next Sterling Sharp. Not Shannon Sharp. If you guys ever remember Sterling Sharp, the only first receiver with back-to-back 100 catches, the same size, 5'11", 213 pounds, 4'4", 40, very productive, very serious. And if Juju don't get serious, he's going to lose that number two spot. This is a man from West Texas. He's tough. He's a farmer. He's a rancher. And this guy is all business. Believe me, 4,000 career yards, outstanding. Biletnikoff Award winner. I tell you what, everybody's going to love him in the locker room because he comes to work like them tough guys from West Texas. He ain't over there worrying about what kind of end zone dances and end zone skits he's going to do. He's a serious football player.
Okay, the only problem I had with everything you said, and we have less than a minute here, you said Juju needs to get serious. I mean, I think he's already serious. He had a real good year.
Last 2 weeks ago, he was just in Hawaii going into the Polynesian Hall of Fame. His stepdad is Polynesian. He ain't. And he was in Dallas at the NFL draft. He got all kind of skits on YouTube. Get on YouTube. He's pranking everybody. He's pranking more people than nephew Tommy.
Is he... Is he productive once he puts that uniform
on?
He's
going to be great, but don't
sleep.
Thank
you.
You got somebody here.
Before we end this segment and wrap the show up, what about Martavis Bryant?
I was very disappointed. 6'5", 230 pounds, 4'2", 40. I was disappointed that the Pittsburgh Steelers traded him, but I'm glad now that they countered it with James Washington, the next Sterling Sharp.
And it was a smart move because if you knew – that he wouldn't be around after this year, you might as well get something for him.
But
correct?
You're only paying him $300,000 a year. Regardless, that ain't a smart move for the guy that potentially 10 to 12. Nobody can cover him. That's not a smart move if you want to go to the Super Bowl. I think that's the missing piece if you want to go to the Super Bowl. You can't replace 4'2", 40, 6'5".
Okay. Yeah, and he got dismissed due to disciplinary reasons and attitude that the Steelers have about troublemakers. We all know that because he's
definitely
a superior athlete. And while I'm not happy to see him go, as it will affect the teams, the better his talent would have been better for the team than not. But he's gone.
He can look right in the mirror. Why it was done. And he brought it all on himself.
Yeah.
Smoking Jim, you can say whatever you want to say, but He caused the situation.
He created the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. He created the situation, and all the tweeting and the follow up and the back and forth with Brown and all that high school stuff. But be that as it may, he's gone. I do want to thank Smoking Jim Frazier for being with us today as Mark White gets ready to wrap up this ABA reunion on Saturday, May 5th. And, oh, I want to remind everybody, if you want to meet us, that being the Soul Take Champions Live team and Trev Sports Talk team, if you want to meet us up close and personal, come out to the event. We will be doing our show live from the Marriott Hotel Saturday, May 5th, beginning at 5 o'clock. So you can come out and meet all of us. I think we're called Radio Personalities. So come meet the personalities up close and in person and be on the air with us so that the next time you hear it, you'll be there. All that being said, another great show, partner. We got it done.
For sure. And again, regarding the draft, I think we all could agree how great it was to see Ryan Sazier walk across that stage to do the announcement for the Steelers' number one draft.
I agree with that, and I think we've all said we hope that he comes back. I don't see it.
I don't either.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope he can.
As long as he's healthy.
As long as he's healthy and can lead a productive life, and that part he's – I just don't know if he can play again.
Smoking
it's just tough to imagine that he could play again. That being said, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. And remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Tape.
The champ is
champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank. Stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later.